he was the one that greatly strengthened the football program.
Oh, yeah.
After the...
He's the one who raised the money to build the stadium.
Yeah, Ficklin.
Yeah.
Stadium was
the... We just had a little play field there, mm-hmm. right over right on the front campus right there. Near the white building.
Yeah.
And it just seated maybe three or four thousand or 5,000, and Mezzi decided to build a stadium, and he got the money. I attended the meeting. Mezzi invited a whole bunch of business people in.
Uh-huh.
Backing, and there's just two people. Well, one of them, I was the only one for the soccer really. But Kiss Duncan. Mm-hmm. It was also there. Chris Duncan was over there. And we had a dinner meeting over our place. I went home and told them we were going to build a stadium in the old lake. And they said, they'll agree to build a stadium. I said, yes, they will. I said, the men up there tonight, they have money. And they pledged quite a little bit there tonight. And I said, when people have money, well, yes, other people have money here, but they're going in to get it, and there are people who don't have any money else to go ask for.
Yeah.
So, Message is the one that really started that thing. He didn't start it, I'm sorry. He gave it a big boost.
Yeah, he put it into the...
Into good high paying that thing.
And I think it's very good for a school to have a strong athletic program, but you also have to have the academic in balance with it.
And but you know, it's surprising how many athletes go out and do well.
Yeah.
And they graduated, even though they had ordinary grades.
Mm-hmm. Just C or C plus grades. I think they learn a great deal of confidence and leadership and
determination
and discipline.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I do. I'm not.
I've rushed over that football. Did me more good than anything wonderful. Did me about as much good as anything ever happened to me.
You played football?
Yes, I played football. I didn't play on any big team, but I played.
That's not as important.
I played on a team that's pretty good big now, but I played only one. I played college at prep school. We had good prep athletes. And then I played in college. I played 1 year in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hate to say this about myself, but I was kind of rough when I was young. I was an old country boy, and I didn't know much about anything else except the country.
And where were you born?
Where
were you born?
I was born in rural Hardin County, Tennessee, 17 miles from your village. And we were real hillbillies.
Really rural.
And football discipline. Football is the best discipline game there is, in my knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you play football as you should, you're going to be disciplined.
And that can carry over.
And this thing, you're going to block that man over there, and you're going to block him to the right. And if you get along with the coach, you're going to do your darnest to block that man to the right. You block it to the left, you're going to get balled out.
It is a good, if you don't get your neck broken, it's a good sport.
I talked about this, and I remember this real yesterday. I watched him practice football, and practice every afternoon, as long as I was there.
At East Carolina, you were...
Yes. Coach Sachevich introduced me one time to a lot of people, and he said, here's a A.D. Frank. Says he's a man that never missed a football practice or a baseball practice or a basketball practice for 3 years.
That was sort of recreation for you.
When they'd have secret meetings, let me in there. When they have full sessions, I do. And I just want you to know an example of how we are distant. I don't know what the fellow did, but the assistant coach said to him, he said, double time around this field. And the boy puffed up, mad as hot. And Earl Smith was the assistant coach. You may know Earl.
No, I don't.
Earl Smith, he was head baseball coach in East Carolina about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he was his assistant football coach, too.
Oh.
And he talked to the man, and he just retired about a year ago. And that boy was fucked up like he just wanted to go down there. And Aerosmith just walked up beside him and whispered and said, good. Well, in the meantime, the fellow said, do two laps. And one lap first. He said, if you know what's good for you, Bud, he said, you start moving. Boy, he forgot about that. And he said, if you know what's good for you, you start moving.
And he lives.
And he went moving.
Well,
on every play at football, every single man has an assignment.
It's a lot more organized than it looks.
Every single man had an assignment. And if any one of those men fall down, it's a mighty good chance of running the play.
Mm-hmm.
Now sometimes one or two men can go wrong and the play is going somewhere else and hurt anything. But there's some play that just practically have to have every man doing what he's supposed to do for his work.
Yeah, I bet you enjoy watching the
season.
You've had a good season.
I enjoy watching.
I think it helps to know. I know a little about football, but never having played, I don't have the insight that you have in what they're doing. But I enjoy a little bit. I don't like it all the time. But we haven't had such a good year this year at East Carolina.
Yeah, didn't have a good year this year.
But I think Ed Emery, they're going to keep him another year, I understand.
Yes, I read that in the paper. I mean, in the bulletin they sent out.
Uh-huh.
They'll probably keep him 3 years. They usually keep him for 3 years anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he's permanent.
I hope. I think he's had some difficult problems building up the team after it was at a weakened point. And then I understand his assistant coaches have not been as strong as they should have been.
He might get some new assistants.
Yeah, that's what they said, look for a new staff, coaching staff, and that might build that up. Well, Dr. Messick also was very active in building program as well as the football program.
Oh, he was. He was very active in building program.
That was during
a
natural growth period.
Yeah,
but I feel that
he was very
active. Let me ask you if you'd agree with this, that it was Messick that really directed our takeoff period. As they say in economics, that under Messick's presidency, East Carolina was really began to roll.
Oh, yeah.
And then when Jenkins came in, it was already...
It was already moving.
Moving.
And he sped it up.
Uh-huh.
And Messick is a fine president, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was a fine president. I was very surprised when he resigned.
That's another thing I have tried to figure out. I have had a number of questions about that. If you want me to turn this off.
Yeah, I guess so.
If you would, I've had many people, you know, make many different assertions about Dr. Messick.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of stories, but I've which I'm sure you heard the most common as far as the...
No, I've heard very little about it. You see, that happened there, so I left there. And,
is that right?
And,
that's right. You left at 57.
And I never, when I was back there, I never did press it on anybody, so I thought it might be something that they didn't want
to tell. Well, there are so many stories that makes me wonder if any of it was true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you hear a lot of different things that are quite opposite, I have heard that there was a sort of a whispering plot of a whispering campaign of about a homosexual tendencies. But I've also heard other stories too, and because it was never a matter of public record, I certainly don't have to put it in the book. But I have wondered if it had some political, if there were some people that wanted him out.
Well, I was told by a man that's very knowledgeable about East Carolina. I didn't ask for any explanation, but he said the same thing that you did, that it twisted around about him being a homo. But he said that his opinion was that that might have been the way to get him out, but that the real trouble was with a bunch of politicians and lawmen. He didn't say law, he said that state politician. Probably the University of North Carolina or some of those folks might have had something to do with it, because whatever else you say, the University of North Carolina has been anti-East Carolina ever since we've been down there.
This is true, and under Messick, it was well publicized that East Carolina was the fastest growing school in the state.
And Messick hammered on one thing that might irritate him, North Carolina. He said time and time again, our salaries ought to be the same thing as the salary of the same position in University of North Carolina and Chapel Hill.
I agree with him.
I do too. He said
we haven't got it.
He said that over and over again. But, and I have an idea that new symbol was Chapel
with
Hill.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just wondered if it was not just that, but then the politicians in representing the Chapel Hill.
Listening to gripes.
Yeah. If it wasn't that, more than any real character problem. They just wanted him out. And he just left rather than have anything that embarrassing.
This man I was talking to seemed to think that Chapel Hill group had something to do with a brewer coming there.
Coming here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when the brewer came
there.
They said he said that he was quite sure that they were cleared on Friday. Friday cleared it with his friends.
Mm-hmm. I think so. I mean, Friday was, the way it's set up, Friday's the person who chooses.
That's right.
After the our local committee recommends, Friday selects from the top three or four that's presented. And I feel Brewer was certainly acceptable to Friday. Does your friend feel that they wanted Brewer in because he would be more under the thumb of Friday?
I think he probably wanted him in because Messick grew standing with the politicians.
Uh-huh.
Messick stood well with politicians for a long time.
Yeah, he did. Now, being a North Carolinian, he was only away about 2 years out of the state at Montclair.
Yeah, he grew up within over 20 miles in East Carolina.
East Carolina. And he understood North Carolina politics quite well. And I expect he taught Leo much of what he...
Just Leo approved it.
Yeah. On how to operate politically.
I was sorry when Don left.
Well, I thought it was very unfortunate.
I'm just sorry when a president leaves, you've got to get a new one.
I am too. I feel like any president, you're going to have adjustments with. And some people are going to like one thing and some people another. But it's disruptive to the school to have people leave suddenly under criticism.
Of course, I have nothing to do with selecting the president, but I know the kind of man I like seeing select, and you might disagree with me. I think now that a man is going to be president of East Carolina, the number one thing in choosing ought to be that he's excellent in public relations.
I think that's true. I think if he's got the other basics.
And he knows how to deal with politicians.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are two things you want to have. Now, of course, you always want a man that's well-educated and preferably a good administrator.
Yeah.
But if he comes down to administrating and work on the campus, he can turn that over to his deans and his vice president. John Messick turned most administration over to old Jenkins.
And I believe Jenkins turned most of his over to Bob Williams.
Yeah, I think so.
And Bob Holt.
And Bob didn't have to do what he's doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As long as you generally know what's going on.
Oh, yes. Well, I bet you knew what was going on. I'm sure Jenkins knew what was going on. But for a man to try to run everything in an institution as complex and as big down as East Carolina is, and of course, on a bigger, more so, he just can't handle every aspect of it.
No, you can't. He has to delegate. And it does need a person with good diplomatic flair.
Some presidents will have law hiring teachers. I think the department will hire teachers.
Yeah.
And incidentally, I did that.
Under all of the presidents?
All except Bob Wright.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hire a teacher on Bob Wright, although I did suggest a teacher. I just hired one while, see, you had such a small school, you hired one all around. I suggested that Bob Wright investigate him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, when I went there, I was all the head of the department because there's just three people there at the department. And
Sally Joyner Davis.
Yes. There's just two people. Sally Joyner Davis and I are the only two in the history department. And then went to third and I suggested a man, and then asked Bob Wright did. I asked the president for the authority to hire, and I got a clear one of them. Although Agnes Barrett, who was secretary, told me that I was the only one that cooked it for our teacher.
That did what?
And that President Cook that
that he did all the rest?
He did the rest. And I right in as a sidelight on that hiring impression. The man I hired under Cook was Hubert Coleman.
Oh, well, that was a good choice.
And, I had reached an agreement with Hubert Coleman. And, of course, Cook would write the official letter.
Mm-hmm.
Telling him he'd been elected, selected president.
Yeah.
I took name down there and saw Hubert Coleman and had that address. He was in Washington, D.C. then. He wrote the history of the medical corps during World War II. And he was finishing that up. And Cook was there. He said, I know that man. You've got a fine man. I said, well, President Cook, that's why I'm getting him. You don't lose the fight. And I think that's one reason I had such good luck in the department.
That you were so careful to begin with.
I carefully interviewed him. Mm-hmm. Two or three people had messaged suggested I turned right down flat. They suggested one woman called me up on the phone. Said, A.D., you looking for a woman? I said, I've got one here that just sounds like this grand. I said, well, send the credentials and let me see.
Mm-hmm.
I looked over the credential, I called Mrs. back. I said, forget that woman as far as I'm concerned. He said, what's the trouble? I said, well, she's called about 10 years, and and she taught in 10 different places. And I said, I don't trust her. So she could also teach French. So he called Jim Fleming up. Jim Fleming hired her.
Oh.
She taught there 1 year, and when we registered for the fourth quarter, Jim Fleming was there. This is to the birthday. The boy came in with a telegram handed Jim Fleming, and for this woman said, I resign and not coming back this year. And Fleming had given a new teacher.
Right
up. 1 year. And I wouldn't take him that either. He called me up and brought another man. He said, you're the man that sells great. I was a man then. He told me who he was. I said, when you embark him off, I've known him for 15, 20 years. Well, I said, I wouldn't have him on a bit. I said, he can talk one of this. He's a better job of talking than a fellow at all almost, but when it comes to producing as a teacher, he's just got nailed. He had a PhD degree in some place.
But it wasn't what you said one thing I was wondering. You said you were interested in hiring a woman. Did you try to hire women and men, a sort of a balance?
Well, I didn't exactly try to balance it, but when I had a vacancy, I kind of think about what I'd rather. I'd rather have a man or a woman, and I like to have more women than I ever had. But I had an awful hard time finding good women.
Mm-hmm. You were trying to find the PhDs.
Now, I got Leila Stevens in the back door, you might see. And I don't think she really quite appreciated the way, but she's certainly thinking a lot of times that I knew how to treat women better than the fuck she's ever worked with.
She told me that. I saw her about a week ago when I said I was going to come down to see you, and she said, well, now, Dr. Frank is just the finest chairman I ever worked with, and he was so fair.
Yeah, well, I got her credentials, and I wouldn't employ her. I went ahead and took a man, and took Joe, incidentally, her husband. And she came down there and taught, I believe she taught for 8 years.
Uh-huh.
And then I had a relationship, since she was already been on the faculty, I took her. And she asked me one day, why did you didn't take me the first year there when you had all our credentials? Why did you say? I said, well, you were a married woman with two children.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know where Joe was going.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I said, I am not going to employ a married woman with children if her husband is going to be 200 or 400 miles away.
Oh yeah, I believe she finished before he did, didn't she?
Yep.
He was still working on his dissertation. Yeah.
And then after the first vacancy I had, as Joe came there, then I got her transferred to the other department of history, and she is an excellent teacher.
Oh, she is. Yeah, she's
an excellent teacher.
They both are.
But I had very few PhD history. All insist on PhD.
Yeah.
And I had very few PhD women ever referred to me.
I think there's not as many PhDs in women in history as, say, foreign language or English or some of the other.
Well, there weren't so many PhDs. Period in those years of women.
Uh-huh.
I mean, compared to the number
of men. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, oh yeah.
I was reading an article on that not long ago in the magazine, I think. It said that the number of graduate students women now, I forgot how much it increased, but it has increased tremendously in the last 10 years.
Yeah, it has. I went to Chapel Hill in 63, and then I came to East Carolina in 67 after I sandwich.
I had Betty Palmer for me. I guess you know Betty.
Yes, yes.
I had her for one quarter there. And she was a very nice, desirable person and a good working, good teacher. And Lorena had just one quarter. Danforth Foundation, all this stuff. Let me have one of my teachers work there for a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And I got Howard Clay to take the Danforth Foundation place there for a quarter. And I got Betty Collins into a teacher's agency for a quarter. And I would have kept Betty on, except she didn't have a PhD degree. And then every teacher I had a PhD. And I was assisting in every one of them boys having it. She went back and got a PhD degree, and then Paul Murray, I guess, before
that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Over there at college.
Right.
I saw her the last time I looked at her.
She's doing fine. And I guess Kathleen Dunlap came after you left, too. She 58 or 50, 59. Are you tired? I was wondering, we've been talking the right long time. You're maybe getting a little tired. Could I, would it be all right if I came back in the morning a little while?
Yes.
I would?
All right.
Good. I thought I'd go home and go back to the motel and listen to some of this and see if there's some questions I want to follow up on. And
I've got one little job I need to do. What time can you come back?
In the morning?
Yeah.
What time would suit you?
Well, I have a little job that I'd like to do. Leaving here about 10:30.
What, you want me to come before 10:30?
You could, yeah.
Okay. I can come, about 9, if I come about 9.
Well, you can come 8:30 or 9.
8:30. All right. I'll do that.
Yeah.
That'll be fine. I'll come about 8:30.
Yeah.
And then we can, I thought I could check over and see some more questions, listen to this and see if I want some follow-ups. Questions and maybe we've prodded your memory and all sorts of things will come pouring out again. Well, good. I just think sometimes
about 10 minutes.
What did you do? Operate sort of person to person?
Work person to person. In other words, if you remember my past and it's something you were doing and I didn't think you ought to do or something I wanted you to do,
yeah,
I'd call you in person. Or if you involve another person, like I told both of them in person, Kay Stokes and Marshall. Marshall.
Yeah.
Both will teach the same course. And I called them in. I said, now both of you want the same course here. And I promised you came. Give it to you both at one time, and I said, I think it's a good idea for the same teacher to teach the same course time after time, because I think it relieves a lot of work for the teacher, and it makes you a better teacher. I said, I want to get this settled for you, here's your own. And I said, now there's another course here that's pretty close to that one, and it seems to be a teacher. I said, I'd like one of you to take that course and the other one to take this course. And I said, if you want me to, I can have a going and jump ahead or something. But I said, we've got to straighten this out some way. And both immediately, both of them said, oh, I'll take such, I'll be glad to do so, so I'll take it. And either one of them, and finally I said to Kay, I said, which one would you actually rather have? He named one. I said, Marshall, which one you actually ought to have? He named one, and it was different courses.
So
we shook hands.
Settle that.
Well, that's the way I handled it.
Did you have committees within the department doing anything?
No, you didn't have any committees.
Life was less complicated then. We got so committed.
We had no committees, and I never wrote a letter. I learned a long time ago, it's not a good thing to put anything down in common worker down and write it.
Yeah, that's probably a good...
Well, it doesn't look the same for one that does the other.
That's true. That makes a difference in different contexts or different times. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well,